Welcome to the Deep Dive. It is officially March 2026, and I have to say, looking at the tech landscape right now, it feels like we are standing on the edge of a completely new era.
Oh, absolutely. It's a massive paradigm shift.
Because if you've been following the smartphone market over the last few years, you know that hardware specs had sort of, well, plateaued.
Right, we were getting the same glass slabs, just slightly faster each year.
Exactly, maybe a slightly better camera. But that era of incremental updates is officially over. The real battleground today isn't just about screen size or basic processing power anymore.
No, not at all.
We are talking about on-device AI agents, privacy engineering, and spatial connectivity.
And to help us navigate all of this, we are looking at an incredibly comprehensive analysis that just came across our desk.
A definitive deep dive into the source material.
Yeah, this source does a complete teardown of the 2026 flagship Trinity. So that's the Samsung Galaxy S-Come 6 Ultra, the Apple iPhone 17 Pro Max, and the Google Pixel 10 Pro.
The big three.
The big three. And when I say comprehensive, I mean the researchers didn't just look at spec sheets. They ran these devices through intense 48-hour battery drain tests.
Wow.
They did 8K thermal stress tests, and they actually measured the reasoning latency of their respective AI cores.
Reasoning latency. I mean, just the fact that we are measuring how fast a phone thinks tells you everything you need to know about where we are in
It
2026.
really does.
So the mission for our deep dive today is simple. We want to help you figure out which of these silicon titans is the ultimate tool for your digital life.
Because, make no mistake, choosing a phone right now is essentially choosing a digital brain to help run your day.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with the sheer processing power, because the foundation for all this new magic is the 2-nanometer revolution.
Right.
Now, I know we throw around terms like nanometers a lot, but how big of a leap is this,
It's the
really?
difference between a minor upgrade and a total architectural reinvention. To set the baseline here, all three of these phones have officially transitioned to 2-nanometer or 2-nanometer silicon architectures.
Which is just tiny.
Microscopic. For anyone wondering why shrinking a transistor matters so much, think of it this way. Imagine taking a sprawling, congested, heavily polluted city where everything takes forever to reach,
Okay.
and redesigning it into a perfectly efficient, hyper-connected metropolis where everything you need is right next door.
So no travel time.
Exactly. Because the transit time is practically zero, you lose almost no power to heat, and you can pack vastly more processing centers into the exact same physical space.
So we are literally putting desktop class performance and true multi-day battery life right into the palm of your hand.
Without the device melting in your pocket, yes.
And looking at the benchmark charts in this analysis, my jaw dropped at what Samsung is doing. I mean, what exactly is running inside the S26 Ultra?
It is powered by the Snapdragon 8 Gen 5 for Galaxy.
Built on TSMC's N2 process, right?
Yes, and the researchers clocked this redesigned 12-core CPU cluster at a staggering 4.6 gigahertz.
Wait, 4.6 gigahertz on a phone?
I know.
That sounds like the kind of raw power you'd need a dedicated cooling fan for.
You would think so, but that is the magic of the 2-nanometer efficiency. To put that 4.6 gigahertz into context, the data shows that in single-core benchmarks, specifically Geekbench 7, this mobile processor actually beats the 2025 MacBook Pro M4.
That is just wild. Let that sink in for a second. The phone in your pocket has better single-core performance than a professional-grade laptop from just a year ago.
It's unbelievable, and it's not just the CPU.
Right, the graphics leap caught my eye too. The Adreno 850 GPU is bringing hardware-accelerated global elimination to mobile for the very first time.
Which is huge for gamers.
Huge. For the gamers listening, global elimination means lighting and shadows don't just act like flat, pre-painted textures anymore.
Right, they react dynamically.
Yeah, so if you throw a flare down a dark hallway in a mobile game, the light bounces off the walls, it reflects off a puddle, and it casts dynamic shadows exactly like it would in the real world.
It completely bridges the gap between console gaming and mobile gaming.
Absolutely.
But what's fascinating here is how Apple is reacting to this.
Oh.
Because if you look at the iPhone 17 Pro Max and the new A19 Pro chip, they are taking a surprisingly different route. They aren't chasing those raw 4.6 gigahertz clock speeds at all.
Which feels very off-brand for the old spec wars. So how is Apple defining performance in 2026 if they aren't trying to win the gigahertz race?
They are defining it entirely by efficiency and AI throughput. Apple has packed the A19 Pro with a 32-core neural engine that delivers 85 TOPS.
Okay, now TOPS stands for trillions of operations per second.
Right.
Hold on, trillions of operations. Break that down for me. Is 85 TOPS a lot compared to what we used to have?
It's a colossal leap. Previous generations were hovering around the 30 to 35 TOPS mark.
Wow, so more than double.
Easily.
Yeah.
But it's not just about speed. It's about what those specific operations are doing. These aren't standard mathematical calculations. They're dedicated entirely to neural networking and machine learning tasks.
Makes sense.
Plus, Apple has introduced a new unified memory architecture for mobile, starting at a minimum of 16 gigabytes of RAM.
And that 16 gigabyte minimum is actually the secret sauce here, because it allows local large language models that the AI brains we usually access via the cloud to stay fully resident in the phone's RAM.
Exactly.
So when you ask your iPhone something incredibly complex, it doesn't have to load the AI into memory or ping a server in California. It just responds instantly.
And that instantaneous response fundamentally changes how the device feels. And because of the efficiency we talked about, the researchers noted the iPhone 17 Pro Max can render AAA console games at a buttery smooth 120 hertz while remaining completely cool to the touch.
An engineering marvel in thermal management.
Truly.
Then we have the wild card of the trio, the Google Pixel 10 Pro. They are positioning this as the AI-first architect.
Yeah, this is a huge milestone because Google has finally broken away from Samsung Foundry entirely.
Right. They are using a fully custom TSMC Tensor G5 chip.
And this chip is a perfect example of hardware built strictly to serve a software vision. Google isn't trying to win traditional benchmarking wars against the Snapdragon or the A19 Pro.
They don't care about the gigahertz.
Exactly. The Tensor G5 was built from the ground up specifically to run their new AI, Gemini 3.1. To do that, they engineered a dedicated tensor processing unit, or TPU, that is four times larger than previous generations.
A four times larger TPU. And the real-world workflow examples the researchers tested with this are insane. Because of that massive local processing power, you have zero latency on-device execution.
Like booking multi-stop flights instantly.
Yeah. And the test that really blew my mind was editing a 40-minute multi-track audio file entirely on the device without ever connecting to the internet.
Unbelievable.
The processing just happens right there in your hand instantly.
It removes the latency bottleneck of sending heavy data back and forth to a server, which, as we'll discuss in a moment, is going to have massive implications for your privacy.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because all this silicon supremacy directly feeds into the one thing we probably use our phones for more than anything else.
The cameras.
The cameras. We have officially moved past the basic megapixel wars and entered the era of optical AI fusion.
Which is a crucial distinction. For years, companies just slapped larger megapixel numbers on the box as a marketing gimmick.
Right.
But now they're fusing incredible optical hardware with generative AI to fundamentally change what a photograph even is.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Because looking at the Samsung S26 Ultra, they put a 440 megapixel sensor in there. 440.
I know, it sounds crazy.
My gut reaction is to ask, is that actually necessary for someone just taking pictures of their dog? Or are we just back to the megapixel marketing wars?
It sounds like complete overkill, right? But it's not actually about giving you a giant, unmanageable file size.
Yeah.
The magic here is a technique called 16-in-1 pixel binning.
Okay.
Basically, the sensor groups 16 of those microscopic individual pixels together to create one massive 2.8 micron virtual pixel.
So they team up.
Yeah. Think of a pixel like a bucket catching rain. But the rain is light. If you have tiny buckets in a dark room, they don't catch much light, so your photo looks grainy and noisy.
Right.
By combining them into one giant bucket, you are gathering a torrential downpour of light and data. In practical terms, this means flawless, noise-free photography, even in a dimly lit restaurant.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And all that light data enables my absolute favorite software feature from the tests. AI Respace.
Oh, that feature's mind-blowing.
Because the S26 Ultra captures so much 3D depth map data alongside the image, you can literally change the lighting angle of a photo after it's already been taken.
It's wild.
Imagine you take a great portrait outside, but you realize the sun was casting a really harsh shadow right across someone's nose. You just open the photo, grab the virtual sun on the screen, and drag it to the other side of their face. It recalculates the shadows in real time.
It feels like science fiction, but it's just pure computational photography driven by that massive Snapdragon chip. Apple, meanwhile, is catering heavily to the professional photography crowd. The iPhone 17 Pro Max introduces variable aperture Gen 2.
Now, I know professional camera lenses have physical apertures, but how does that translate to a smartphone lens?
It shifts physically between f1.2 and f4.0.
Okay.
Think of the aperture like the pupil of your eye. When you are in a dark room, your pupil dilates. It opens wide to let in as much light as possible. That's f1.2.
Got it.
And when it does that, the background naturally blurs out, keeping only the subject in focus. That's called optical bokeh.
Beautiful.
Then, if you step out into bright sunlight, your pupil squints. That's f4.0, which brings the entire landscape into sharp focus. Instead of relying entirely on software to artificially blur the background like older portrait modes, the iPhone is using genuine physical optics to create that creamy background blur that rivals professional full-frame mirrorless cameras.
And the video capabilities are just as intense. The testing highlighted the Photonic Engine 3.0 processing 12-bit ProRAW video in real time at 60 frames per second.
That is a staggering amount of data.
Right, because for context, most standard phone videos capture millions of colors. 12-bit color depth means it is capturing billions of colors.
Exactly.
Imagine trying to draw a sunset with a box of 8 crayons versus a box of 8 billion crayons. The amount of data moving through the image signal processor to make that happen smoothly is just staggering. Oh, and Apple finally added a 10x optical periscope lens, which closes the zoom gap that Samsung has dominated for years.
Which brings us to Google's approach with the Pixel 10 Pro. If Apple is about professional optical purity, Google is leading the charge in semantic imaging.
The researchers set up a scenario for the Pixel that is just painfully relatable. You are at the Eiffel Tower, you wait 20 minutes for the crowd to clear, you frame up the perfect shot, and right as you hit the shutter, a tourist walks right through the middle of the frame.
We've all been there.
In the past, you'd try to use a magic eraser tool, but it would always leave this weird, blurry smudge where the person used to be.
But with Best Take 3.0, the Pixel 10 Pro uses its local generative AI to reconstruct the background with total historical accuracy.
So it's not just guessing.
No, it doesn't just look at the pixels next to the person and guess what's behind them.
Yeah.
The AI actually understands that it's looking at the Eiffel Tower. It knows what the base of the Eiffel Tower is supposed to look like architecturally, and it perfectly recreates the missing steel girders, the shadows, and the pavement.
That is wild. It's not just taking a picture, it's reconstructing reality. And they aren't slouching on video either. Video Boost 3.0 is now processing 8K HDR video entirely on device.
That used to take servers.
Exactly. Remember when you had to upload your high dynamic range videos to Google servers and wait for hours to get the enhanced version back? Now, thanks to that massive new TPU in the Tensor G5, it happens instantly right on the phone.
And that on-device processing power is the perfect bridge to perhaps the most significant shift of 2026. We are witnessing the transition from simple reactive voice assistants to autonomous AI agents.
Yes. The analysis frames 2026 as the year our phones stopped waiting for simple commands like, what's the weather? Or set a timer for 10 minutes and started executing highly complex multi-step tasks.
We are giving them real responsibility.
We are now literally telling our phones things like, fix my schedule. Let's look at how Galaxy AI 2.5 handles this on the S26 Ultra.
Samsung's integration with their SmartThings ecosystem is absolutely peerless right now. Because the AI connects seamlessly to your physical environment, it operates almost like a digital butler.
I love the example they tested for this. You're wrapping up work, you tell your S26 Ultra, prepare the house for a workout. You don't have to open three different smart home apps. Instantly, the AI lowers the air conditioning, cues up your specific high-energy workout playlist on your earbuds, and dims the overhead lights in your home gym.
It's beautiful.
It understands the broad human context of a workout and translates it into a dozen specific micro-actions across different devices.
That contextual awareness is key. And we have to mention the real-time translation on the Galaxy. We're talking about less than 50 milliseconds of latency for 35 different languages, working entirely locally.
So fast, you barely notice it.
But the real game changer is that it now integrates directly into third-party apps like WhatsApp and Zoom. You could be on a business video call with someone speaking Japanese and hear them in English in real time, with almost no awkward pausing or robotic delays.
It's the universal translator from sci-fi, finally realized. Now, Apple's approach with Apple Intelligence 3.0, which they are officially calling Siri Pro, is built entirely around something called the Semantic Index.
The Semantic Index is deeply rooted in Apple's philosophy of privacy-first ecosystem integration. This index maps out your entire digital life. It knows the context of your emails, your iMessages, your calendar appointments, the people in your photos.
But it's all local.
That's the crucial part. The index never leaves the physical device. It gives Siri Pro the deep personal context it needs to perform complex chain actions without ever broadcasting your data to the cloud.
The chain action tests really highlight how powerful this is. You can just hold the button and say, find the receipt from last Tuesday, summarize the taxes, and email it to my accountant.
And it just does it.
Siri Pro dives into your inbox, locates the specific PDF based on your vague time context, uses the A19 Pro's neural engine to extract and calculate the tax data, drafts a professional email, and sends it to the specific contact listed as your accountant. Three distinct, complex software steps across multiple apps, all executed perfectly from a single conversational prompt.
It is incredibly powerful for productivity.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about sheer AI proactivity, the data firmly crowns Gemini 3.1 on the Pixel 10 Pro. Google wins by anticipating your needs before you even articulate them.
The proactivity of Gemini is almost eerie, but in the best way possible. There was a scenario in the testing where an airline emails you about a flight delay. Gemini 3.1 sees the incoming email, cross-references your calendar, realizes you were going to miss your connecting flight and therefore need a place to stay for the night, and autonomously searches for hotel alternatives.
Without you lifting a finger.
Before you even open the airline's email to see that you're delayed, you get a notification from Gemini saying, your flight is delayed by 4 hours. Here are three hotels near the airport with vacancy. Want me to book one?
It's a fundamental shift in how we interact with technology. It's shifting the burden of logistics completely away from the user. And the Pixel's call screen feature has evolved dramatically, too. The AI voice that handles suspected telemarketers is now so human-like, with natural pauses and realistic vocal inflections, that it's practically indistinguishable from a real person.
That is amazing.
It handles the entire frustrating interaction for you in the background while you go about your day.
So we have these massive AI brains doing millions of tasks a second. But all of that internal power is useless if the phone shatters the first time you drop it, or if it feels like a heavy brick in your pocket. How is the actual hardware evolving to house these engines?
Aesthetically, the bezels are practically gone. All three phones boast a 95% or higher screen-to-body ratio. It's essentially just a sheet of interactive glass.
And Apple finally achieved what people have been asking for. They moved the Face ID sensors completely under the display. The notch is gone. The standard pill shape is gone. You just have a tiny punch hole for the camera lens. And the software dynamically expands that physical space into the dynamic island only when it's actively providing information.
And the physical materials have evolved to match. Both Apple and Samsung are using titanium grade 5 for their frames, which keeps them incredibly light but rigid.
But Samsung seems to be pulling ahead on screen durability with Armor Glass 3. The scratch tests showed it is 4 times more resilient than the older Gorilla Glass Victus 2.
Yeah, that is a big jump.
Meanwhile, Google has gone a totally different route with the Pixel 10 Pro, using a new unibody ceramic Mac that is completely immune to fingerprints. No more constantly wiping down smudgy phones.
The hardware is beautiful, absolutely. But its most important function right now is acting as a vault.
So what does this all mean? We've just spent the last 20 minutes talking about how our phones are reading our private emails, analyzing our receipts, tracking our delayed flights, and listening to our phone calls. The privacy implications of having an AI agent that knows everything about you are massive.
Exactly. When an AI agent has ubiquitous access to your entire life, trust isn't a luxury, it's a mandatory feature. You cannot have proactive AI without ironclad security. And we are seeing three very distinct approaches to this problem from these tech giants.
Let's break those down. Samsung is doubling down on physical hardware-level security with Knox Vault 3.0. The coolest part of this is that they've included a literal physical AI kill switch deep in the settings.
That's fascinating.
If you toggle it, the hardware physically severs the connection, preventing any data from leaving the local neural processing unit, period. It doesn't matter what an app asks for, the data is trapped on the phone.
It's a brute force hardware solution that guarantees peace of mind. Apple, true to form, is relying on complex cryptographic systems with their expanded private cloud compute.
Right.
When Siri Pro has to handle a task that is simply too complex for even the A19 Pro chip, it securely sends that specific data packet to Apple's silicon servers in the cloud. But the data is instantly deleted after processing, and it is cryptographically inaccessible. Even if Apple themselves were subpoenaed, they couldn't read your data because the keys don't exist on their end.
And then there is Google with Private Space 2.0 on the Pixel 10 Pro. They are utilizing the Tensor G5 Secure Enclave to run what is essentially a completely isolated operating system right inside the phone.
So phone within a phone.
Exactly. So your sensitive banking, crypto wallets, and healthcare apps live in a walled garden that the rest of the phone and even the broader Gemini AI absolutely cannot touch or see.
It's a very smart compartmentalization strategy. It allows you to leverage the immense sweeping power of Gemini for your daily logistical tasks while keeping your most critical financial and medical data completely quarantined in a digital safe.
All right, we've covered the 200 GB processing power, the optical AI cameras that reconstruct reality, the autonomous agents running our schedules, and the privacy vaults protecting our data. It's time to bring it all together. The researchers provided a brilliant strategy matrix for 2026 to help you, the listener, make your choice. Here is the verdict.
Go for it.
If you are the power user, you want the absolute best screen, the most versatile camera system with that insane 440 megapixel sensor and 100x zoom, and you still love having the utility of the S Pen, choose the Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra. It is unapologetically the do-it-all Swiss Army knife of phones.
And if you are the professional or you are already deeply invested in an ecosystem, choose the Apple iPhone 17 Pro Max. Thanks to the sheer efficiency of the A19 Pro, it is the endurance champion of 2026. You get unparalleled professional video quality with that 12-bit Pro RAW processing, and historically, it will retain the highest resale value.
Finally, if you are the AI enthusiast, if you want the smartest, most proactive device on the planet running a flawlessly clean Android experience, choose the Google Pixel 10 Pro. With that massive, custom Tensor G5 built purely for Gemini 3.1, it offers the most unique, frictionless daily experience of the three.
It's a fascinating time to be buying tech. But looking at all of this incredible advancement, it really makes you wonder. We saw that mentioned in the source about the upcoming AI model showdown, GPT 5.3 versus Gemini 3.1.
Yeah, that is going to be intense.
But if our phones, powered by these incredibly advanced localized AI brains, are now seamlessly predicting our needs, booking our hotels automatically, and screening our calls with human voices, at what point do we stop using them as tools and start treating them as autonomous co-pilots? Who is actually making the decisions in your life, you or the 2-nanometer chip in your pocket?
Wow. That is a heavy thought to leave on. Are we making the choices, or are we just casually approving the choices our phones have already made for us? Something to seriously mull over the next time your phone anticipates exactly what you need before you even know you need it. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep questioning the incredible tech sitting right there in your pocket, and we will catch you on the next one.